Guys, we are in a series called Enemies. And last week, we started off with there are four things that destroy us. They're enemies of our hearts that can really destroy us. And last week, we talked about guilt. Guilt was the first one. Today, we're talking about anger. Next week, we're talking about greed. And next week, the week after that, we're talking about jealousy. Now, each one of these enemies, we said last week, set up a debtor relationship. Okay, with guilt, you do something, and you basically says, "I owe you." Okay, I've done something, and therefore I owe, and I am the debtor. Okay, I owe someone something, and we talked about how the Bible says to take care of that. Today we're talking about anger, which basically says you owe me. You've done something to me. And now you owe me. Now you are in debt to me. Next week, we're talking about greed, which says, I owe me. I owe me. And the last one is jealousy, which says, God owes me. We're not going to talk about greed and jealousy today. Today, we're talking about anger, which basically says, you owe me. And there's a debtor relationship going on. Okay? So there's no doubt, guys, we're an angry bunch. Americans, we are an angry bunch. The average, especially very appropriate for Father's Day. There may be a lot of great celebration going on out there right now, but right now there may also be a lot of anger. Father's Day is a reminder of a father that dropped the ball, that stole something from you, and now you feel he owes you. And because he hasn't paid you back, you are angry. Or a lot of men in general in America report just feeling angry, frustrated, anger, anger, anger. And maybe a lot of you guys can deal with that. But see, here's the enemy number two, and this is why we've got to get this under control. We've got to get this under control. Anger, if you're an angry person, your motto is, you owe me. Check out this quote from author Andy Stanley. He says this, "Show me an angry person, and I'll show you a hurt person. And I guarantee that person is hurt because something has been taken. Somebody owes them something. If nothing else, an apology." We all know folks whose anger could be verbalized in one of the following ways. "You took my reputation. You stole my family. You took the best years of my life. You stole my first marriage. You robbed me of my teenage years. You robbed me of my purity. You owe me a raise. You owe me an opportunity to try. You owe me a second chance. You owe me affection." Again, here's the point. The root of anger is the perception that something has been taken. Something is owed you. And now a debt-debtor relationship has been established. And we can dress it up, and we can explain it away, and we can all kind of great justifications and great sounding psychological names on it, but it boils down to the fact that something has been taken from us. We have not gotten what we want and something that we feel like we deserve. That is the root of anger. And you guys got to get that, because unless you understand that, the rest of the message isn't going to make sense. And the solution to it is not going to make sense either. Okay? So what does anger say? You... Louder. You? Okay, very good. Okay, so let's take a look at the profile of an angry person. Before we get into scripts, take a look at the profile of an angry person. The first statement an angry person says is, somebody needs to pay. Somebody needs to pay. You know, somebody cuts you off in traffic. They've done something. Oh, I've got to get in front of that person. They need to pay. They can't get away with it. Okay, so if someone's bitter over a breakup, angry over a professional slight, something like that, somebody needs to pay. Maybe you're angry because your dad left, or mom was manipulative, or you know that somebody has to pay. Okay, that's the first statement of an angry person. Problem is that no one can really pay back the debt. How do you pay back a child for the hurts done to a child? How do you actually pay it back? How do you actually pay back a person that you wronged many, many years ago? How do you do that? Well, you can't. And so you can never really get compensated. So the second stage of an angry person is not somebody needs to pay, but you owe me becomes everyone owes me. Not just one person. Now everyone owes me. And you, these are people that are just kind of mad at the world, okay? No matter what you do, no matter what happens, this person's just angry at everyone because they have morphed from somebody owes me to now everybody owes me. And that may be you today. These are people that feel the way as a creditor would feel towards people that owe him and no one's paying him back. He's angry at them. He's judging them. They can't do anything right. And we hope that that doesn't describe anyone in here. But unfortunately, it probably does. And then the third stage of the profile of the angry person is once everybody owes me, now nobody can get it right. Have you ever run into somebody that no matter what you do, you're just going to mess up? You know, I mean, you're done before you even start. They can't, you know, maybe you're a waiter at a restaurant. This patron cannot give them their water fast enough. You cannot cook their steak fast enough. It was not done right. Maybe you work with a boss that is this way. No matter what you do, it is wrong. Or maybe you live with a spouse that's this way. No matter how you hang the toilet paper, they want it the other way. Or no matter how you cut the grass, they didn't want to cut that way. Anybody deal with people like that? That is stage three. And see, the thing is that they can't let you get it right. Because their anger has taken residence in their heart, and they love it, they're nurturing it, and if you were actually to get something right, they would not have an excuse to hold on to their anger, and therefore they can't let you get it right. No matter what you do, you have to get it wrong so that they can keep that anger in their heart. That is the profile of an angry person. Now, hopefully, that couldn't be talking about you, could it? I mean, that just describes everybody else out there, correct? Unfortunately, that's us. So let's take a look at what the Bible says about this enemy. Because, guys, this is destroying us. It is. And to make it worse, God has made an unrealistic request. He's made an unrealistic demand. And it's found in Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. It says this: get rid of all bitterness and rage and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. God is telling us to get rid of all of this stuff. Well, isn't that kind of unrealistic? I mean, the thing is, after all, we've been hurt, haven't we? We've had stuff taken from us. We begin to believe the lie that, you know, it's okay for you to behave the way you do. After all, you're just responding to the world around you. You've been hurt. There is a justification for the way that you behave. That's what we begin to believe. It's not my fault. So we have no incentive to change. Victims don't want to change. Victims just want to make sure the person responsible pays. But guys, that's not an option that God has given us. He's not given us that option. So guys, if Paul had stopped right at that moment right there, then we could lapse into our excuses, but he didn't stop right there. He says this, he goes on, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Now, see, Paul provides the answer to anger. Here's the answer to anger. You guys want to know what the answer to anger is? It's forgiveness. And we're going to talk about that real quick, but not just any kind of forgiveness. What does Paul say here? Paul says, forgiving each other just as, everybody say just as, Christ God forgave you. This isn't just some kind of rubber stamp or some glossing over. This is the same kind of forgiveness God extends to us. That is what the answer to anger is. So let's take a look at what kind of forgiveness Jesus gave us. Well, he gave us a very strong parable here in Matthew 18, 23 through 35. He says this: therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold. All right, now add that up. That's a lot of money, isn't it? Okay, it's a lot of money. All right, was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children, all he had, be sold to pay the debt. At this point, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Canceled a debt of 10,000 bags of gold. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a few hundred silver coins. That's not much compared to 10,000 bags of gold, right? Okay. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Wow. So Jesus' solution to anger is forgiveness. Here are two little thoughts about this before we actually go into the steps of forgiveness that all of us need. Number one, forgiveness, listen, forgiveness is the decision to cancel a debt. That's what it is. That's what forgiveness is. It's the decision to cancel a debt. Remember, anger says you owe me. Forgiveness says you don't owe me anymore. Say that again. Anger says you owe me. Forgiveness says you don't owe me anymore. I want you to think about someone that you need that has hurt you. Right now you're saying, "You owe me." Forgiveness today says, "You don't owe me anymore." See, Jesus links forgiveness and monetary debt. You notice that he put this in economic terms. He put this parable in economic terms. And he says this. He says this. He doesn't want us to miss the correlation between anger and forgiveness and debt and forgiving a debt. Okay? That's why he put it in those terms. So we would understand that forgiveness is canceling a debt. This is illustrated by the king in this story. There's no way the guy could pay him back, so he just canceled the debt, says, "You don't owe me anymore." That's what God has done for you if you're a Christian. So forgiveness, second thought, so forgiveness is simply a gift from one undeserving soul to another. That's what forgiveness is. It's a gift from one undeserving soul, you, to another. In other words, only forgiven people can forgive. Maybe one of the reasons why you struggle with forgiveness is that you've never really been forgiven by your Heavenly Father. Only forgiven people can forgive. And also, guys, let's not miss the warning here in this parable. If you don't forgive, you're going to pay dearly. If you don't forgive, you're going to pay dearly. Isn't it? Catch the irony here, people, that while you're waiting to be paid back, while you're waiting, if you hold on to your anger and you don't forgive and you wait to be paid back, you're going to be the one winding up paying a lot. You're going to pay dearly. That's what Jesus is saying here. We hold on. If we forgive and cancel the debts owed to us, we forgive, we cancel them, we actually go free. Interesting. You see this in this parable. The man, if he would have forgiven the debt owed to him, then the king would have let him go free. And yet he did not cancel the debt. He did not forgive the debt that the person owed him, and he was turned over to the jailers to be tortured. So people, if we don't forgive, we are going to pay dearly. Big time. Okay? So Paul says this, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." See, Paul had no problems writing this down because he was writing to Christians. He was writing to people who had experienced the forgiveness of God, who had experienced the grace of his Heavenly Father. He was not writing to people who did not understand forgiveness. He was writing to Christians. And therefore, he had no problem writing this. And if you are a Christian, not everyone in here is, but if you are a Christian, then you are not expected to behave the way that the world behaves. You're not expected to treat people the way that they treat you. You're expected to treat people the way God treats you. That's what this parable says. We forgive debts. Why? Because they deserve it? No, because God has forgiven us. And that's the purpose. That's the point of forgiveness. And when you actually exercise biblical forgiveness, you will see anger melting away and it will not be clogging up your heart and dictating your actions anymore. So let's take a look at what happens. There are four things that we need to do to forgive. This is Jesus' solution here. The first thing is this, is we have to identify who we're angry with. You got to identify who you're angry with. You have to identify the person that has hurt you or has taken things from you. So if someone has gossiped about you, they've stolen your good name. If someone has fired you unjustly, they've stolen your financial security. If someone has insulted you, they've taken away your dignity. If someone has cheated on you, they've stolen your trust and your emotional security. You have to identify who it is you are angry with, because forgiveness is always directed towards a person, not a feeling. So you have to identify who has taken from you. So here's a question. If you need help identifying it, who do you hope to never see again? Who do you have imaginary conversations in your head where you just trounce them? Who would you like to pay back if you thought you could get away with it? These are people that you're angry with, the people that you need to forgive. The second thing is this. Need to determine what they owe you. Now this is a little bit strange, but bear with me. You have to determine what they owe you. Most of us know what this person has done. We could list off something they said or something they did that we're angry about or that we feel like they owe us, but we haven't really taken the time to figure out what has actually been taken from us. Remember, anger says you owe me, so they owe you something. They took something from you, and you have to identify that. Okay, this is essential because you may know what they did, but you don't know what they took. So you have to determine what was taken. Maybe a marriage was taken. You have to write that down. Was a marriage taken? Is that why you're angry? A childhood? Was that what was taken from you? A career? Were friends taken from you? Was peace of mind? Opportunity? A promotion? What was taken from you? You have to identify that. Okay? You cannot cancel a debt that you haven't clearly identified. And the third step, after you have identified who you're angry with and what they've taken from you, you have to decide to cancel the debt. Step three is cancel the debt. This means that you actively decide that the offending party does not owe you anything anymore. They don't owe you anything anymore. You're not waiting to be paid back. You have canceled their debt, just like the king in the story of the unmerciful servant. And this may be a little prayer, maybe a little guide that you can say to God. Heavenly Father, blank, has taken blank from me. I've held on to this debt long enough. I choose to cancel this debt. Blank doesn't owe me anymore. Just as you forgave me, I forgive blank. You say that out loud. You verbalize it. You release it. And you forgive as Christ has forgiven you. And then the fourth step is this. You dismiss the case. Dismiss it. It's gone. Dismiss it. Determine never to bring it back up again. Once a debt is canceled, it cannot be brought back up. You cancel the debt. They do not owe you anything anymore. And someone says, well, does that mean that when I see this person, I still get a little bit angry and my emotions come? No, that's fine. That's fine. It really is. Just remember that you respond to those emotions with, this person doesn't owe me anymore. They don't owe me anymore. Okay? And it's really tempting, you guys, to determine whether or not we've forgiven someone by how we feel towards them. It's really tempting, okay? Because a lot of times, even though I've forgiven someone, I still don't want to be around them. I still don't trust them. No, that's fine. That's okay. This is the truth. Your feelings are usually the last thing to come around when it comes to forgiveness, okay? But you continue to say, they don't owe me anymore. Continue to forgive, and your feelings will follow suit soon enough. Guys, this is very, very important. You continue to press on, your feelings change, and you realize that you were set free by the fact that you forgive this person. Someone said that forgiveness is letting a prisoner go and then realizing the prisoner was you. That's the kind of forgiveness that God wants. That's the solution to anger. I don't know what you are feeling, what kind of anger you are feeling on this Father's Day, on this day. I don't know who has hurt you. I don't know what debts people have racked up in your life. I really don't. But I do know this, that the only answer to it is forgiveness. The kind of forgiveness that Jesus talked about, the kind of forgiveness that God gives to Christians. And we're called to do that. Give that them. Anger says what? You. Forgiveness says what? You don't owe me anymore. So I want you guys to take a quiet moment right now. And I want you to think and meditate on the person that you need to forgive most. And I want you to picture their face. And I want you to picture what they, I want you to picture their face. I want you to determine what they owe you. What have they taken from you? List it. Make it tangible. I want you to cancel the debt and look at that image in your mind and say, you don't owe me anymore. And I want you to experience the freedom that comes with canceling the debt and extending forgiveness where anger used to be. Take a quiet moment and do that.